Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder, and it's the Wednesday version of our show. We would like you to listen. We would like you to participate. We're 312-981-7200.
Well said. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Thank you. Both you and I are starting the show out right with our daily recommended allowance of a bagel. That's the way to start a day off, I think.
I really wish I was brought up Jewish because I love corned beef.
I can. I'll sponsor you if you want in. I can sponsor you.
You need a sponsor?
Yeah.
I love pastrami. I love bagels. The only thing I'm not big on is lox.
Yeah, I don't care for them either. Not a fan.
Is that just raw salmon?
I'm not positive with that. I know it's salmon, so yeah, I guess. I'm not a fan either.
There's news out there that if you're ingesting wild salmon, beware because you might get a tapeworm.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
It's pretty scary.
I don't want that. No one wants that.
I don't want to eat sushi anymore, especially the cafeteria sushi because of it.
Right. Stay away from the cafeteria
sushi. No,
I'll just
go to Walgreens to get it.
Trust me on this. Let me tell you something that I did two days ago now. This is Wednesday, so it would have been 2 days ago. Every other month, I get sometimes phone calls, sometimes texts from a number that I don't recognize. And it turns out that it's a beauty salon somewhere in the suburbs, in the western suburbs.
Maybe they're confirming my appointment. Maybe I accidentally gave them your number.
They're confirming a woman named Dorothy's appointment.
Oh, darn.
And this has been going on for a year, just over a year. Every other month, like clockwork, I get either a phone call or a text or both. Just them letting Dorothy know that Saturday at 9 o'clock, there's a space reserved.
Every 6 weeks, that's how often women color their hair.
Is that how often normally? All right, so for a long time, I just ignored it. But at about the one-year mark in November, I said, well, this is ridiculous. I can't go the rest of my life.
You waited a year?
Yeah, about a year.
I would have called back that next day and said, you know, obviously Dorothy is going to be late because she's not getting the reminder call. This isn't her number.
The first time or two, you go, well, this is a fluke. This won't continue for a long time.
A year.
But a year is only, it's six visits because she goes every 2 months. So I let it go, I guess, longer than I should have, right? But at the year mark, I went, all right.
You are so proactive. That's what I love about you.
I texted them back. This is how polite I am. I think you have the wrong number.
Even though you know it.
Which is ridiculous. It is the wrong number. I'm not Dorothy, and I don't go to this beauty shop. I think you have the wrong number. Please find the right number and let Dorothy know that her appointment stands tomorrow at 9 a.m. or whatever. So 2 months later, I get a phone call from them, and I say, you know, I left a text. I'm not Dorothy. I don't know her. You're probably a digit off in the phone.
Wrong area code.
Could be the wrong area code. They were so apologetic, you know, they really were. And then 2 months ago, I got another one, two texts, actually, 2 months ago. And then the other day, I got a text. We're on for Saturday at 9, Dorothy. So I sent
them. You should show up.
I should.
At 9.
And have my hair frosted just to teach everyone a valuable lesson.
Who knows? You may love it.
And then Dorothy sees me on the street. You look fantastic. Well, I had my hair frosted and I put it on your tab. So I'm glad you like the result.
I'm getting my hair colored next week, Tuesday. If she can see me Saturday, I'm going to go see him, Dorothy, and then Dorothy will pay for it.
Do it. I think you should do it. I texted them back saying, I didn't know this sounds cruel, but I thought I got to stop this. Dorothy is done with you. She's not happy with the service. She's not happy with your attitude. She's finding a better hair salon. That's the end of it.
I love that.
Now what's going to happen?
They're going to call you personally and try and win you back.
I bet they will. And I'm easily swayed, so it's very possible they will win me back. I'm not counting that out.
There is something wrong with this whole telephone system.
Because why?
Well, you get calls on the air. I do, too, that, you know, we're calling about your credit card. There's nothing wrong.
Right.
But if you call in the next 2 seconds, we can drop your
rate
to -20.
I get that all the time.
All right. I'm on the do not call list. I think that just is an open invitation for people to call.
I think it is. You know, the do not call list was put out with the best of intentions, but somehow, because we get calls at the house all the time.
We get
calls on the cell phone all the time, and we're on a similar list. There's only one list, right?
I did one for the cell, one for the landline.
Yeah, yeah. But we still get them all the time.
And my sister was telling me over the holidays, she got a phone call, and when she answered, the woman on the other end went, "Oh, I'm sorry, hang on, there's something wrong with my headset." And right there I said to my sister, "Headset, why didn't you hang up right then?"
Yeah.
And she said that these systems are, it was a recording.
Yeah.
And because my name's Danielle and I'll be helping you. And it's like, Danielle, because my husband got one of these and I hear him go, you know, "Danielle, I'm not interested. Danielle, are you listening?" It's all a recording, and
right,
they do this pause at the beginning.
But if you pick up, all of a sudden they've got a lot. They've got somebody live, so then they jump on. Is that what happens?
No, they in the recording. Like once you answer the phone,
yeah.
There's a pause to make sure it's not an answering machine to see if there's some voice coming out,
right.
And that's where now they're apologizing on the recording. Excuse me, I'm trying to fix my headset.
Oh.
So that's all a recording. Isn't that kind of genius?
Yeah.
And very deceptive.
More real. Yeah.
But if somebody says I'm having a problem with my headset right then and there, you know, I don't need
Right. Why would I want to talk to you then?
It's been happening all the time.
Mm.
How's Dorothy's hair looking now, do you think?
I think it looks nice now.
That I can't believe. You know what I think they have done is they had it in their computer, and when you said it's the wrong number, they mm-hmm. checked it and added Dorothy's number in there, but forgot to delete yours.
Mine is still in there. I bet. Yeah, there's a chance of that, and I know what I did seems mean, but
no.
I don't even know if it'll work. I'll let you know in 2 months.
I cannot believe that.
And then Terry said, my wife said, what if she goes in on Saturday at 9 o'clock and because you were so rude in the text there, you know, there's no spot for her. She's been waiting 2 months to have her hair colored, frosted, whatever. And then she goes in like she's done for years and years and years. And all of a sudden there's cold feelings between the people at the salon and her. I don't want that. I just don't want the calls and texts every 2 months.
I think they'll finally realize at the time, wait, I thought you broke up with us.
Right.
No. And then they'll look into the computer and then they'll go, oh, here's the wrong. Let's delete this number. So you have saved yourself and maybe got her a free service.
Maybe.
Because if they're, you know, she's going to break up with her hairstylist, maybe they'll say, they'll try and woo her back say, we've got this one comp.
This one's on
due to
the
all
house.
The trouble.
All right. Let's hope for the best, shall we? All right. We have a big full show today. Tim Cavanaugh is coming by. Very funny man. Dane Neal talking about food and
he's
a big
very
event.
Funny.
Also Tim. Very funny. Some things that are not so funny. Various levels of funny and not funny on today's show. So stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill. It's Wendy. And Bill, you've been getting harassed by a hair salon. For over a year.
There's a sentence I never thought anyone would say about me, but yes, I am. I'm being harassed by a hair salon in the western suburbs. I'm not going to say their name, but they have a client, Dorothy, who they think somehow is me. So I keep getting phone calls confirming my appointments, usually on a Saturday, right around 9 o'clock. And I sent them a terse text, Wendy. Very terse text.
After trying nicely, I might add, to say, this is the wrong number.
Right.
You even said, I think this is the wrong number, to soften it, even though you knew.
We always say that. If somebody calls your house and it's the wrong number, we always go, I think you have the wrong number. Why do you think that? Well, because no one named Jeremy lives in my house, and you called for him, and he's not here. So, I sent them a note, kind of breaking up with them.
And we'll see if Dorothy does have her appointment standing at 9 o'clock on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody says, Bill, does that mean if you call your own number that Dorothy's going to answer?
I wouldn't be shocked if that were the case.
All you have to do, Bill, is block the number. You don't know how to do that.
I have no idea how to do that.
We were also talking about phone calls people have been receiving. I heard it from my sister. I witnessed my husband Jim go through this, where there's a pause when you pick up.
Yeah.
And they sound very disoriented. Like they're like, oh, hang on a minute. I have to fix my headset. And someone said, I was thrown for a curve when Kathy had to fix her headset. And then her voice got deeper and her name changed to Steve.
Right.
Because after they realize there's a real person there, then you're right.
Right.
The recording kicks it off,
yeah,
and some alarm must sound saying
we've got a live one. Yeah.
The headset call sounds very real, says someone else.
I would think so.
And Margaret wants to chime in on this. Hi, Margaret.
Good morning. You know, you said that the no call list was created with the best of intentions. I think it was, but these people are criminals. They're not going to follow the rules of the no call list.
That's true.
You know, the ones that call up and say they're with the IRS or oh, yeah, your credit card interest needs lowering and all this other nonsense.
How does that keep happening?
What do they care about the rules? I don't know. You'd think somehow they'd be able to be stopped, but that hasn't been the case.
It happened on the air, Margaret, a while back. I don't know if you were listening, but Bill received a call winning a trip or something. Was that it?
Yeah.
And then we called that number back on the air, and he was like, don't call me here. And then he swore at us.
Yep.
Well, I've gotten phone calls, and the caller ID shows up as my own telephone number.
Oh, that's brilliant. So
that's
there's no
weird.
Way to trace it.
There was a thing, I think it was on 2020 or six, one of those, 60 Minutes something, and they said that a lot of these calls are being generated from someplace in the Caribbean, and they can make it any phone number or any area code that they want.
Sure, I'm positive they'd have that
technology.
And they're
probably only getting paid like a dollar a call. They're probably not getting paid very much.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, but it showed up as our area code and our telephone number. That was really weird.
Wow. Well, thanks, Margaret. Thanks for calling. Have a good day.
Somebody said we should call the salon on the air.
I feel bad for the. I know I'm the one who keeps getting the errant texts and phone calls, but I kind of feel bad for him. Even as I was texting that I don't want to go there anymore, Dorothy's through with you. I'm like, is this what it takes? I don't want to have to be this mean to them, but...
312 says, Bill, why don't you just call and talk to them? That probably would be your best
bet.
Well,
I have talked to them.
Oh, that's right. And they were really
so
nice
apologetic.
About it. That's
so
right.
So apologetic.
Because I kept getting messages for someone named Howard who had a doctor's appointment.
Yeah.
And right away, first call, I called them back and said, listen, I hope Howard's okay, but he's not getting these messages. So I called like after the first time.
That was nice of you.
You waited a year.
I waited a year. I took calls for a year from them. Have you received this one? I've gotten this one a couple of times. It's my auto dealership calling to remind me that my warranty is going to expire and that they can re-up my warranty. And then when you ask which auto dealership, because we've bought in the last couple of years, I've bought three cars, one for me, one for my wife, one for my daughters. They don't want to tell you that because it's not really my auto dealership. And then, like the last one, I said, and which car's warranty is about to expire? Because I almost fell for it. I'm like, well, it's possible one of the warranties, but which one is it? And again, they couldn't give me that information.
Well,
we're not at liberty to say, sir.
That's suspect when you get a call and they don't identify, you know, like this is Jack Phelan.
Well, they just said point blank, this is your auto dealership, and I don't have an auto dealership.
Well, you bought the car.
I did, but it's, you know, wouldn't you say if you were the people I bought the car from, you would open with that?
Well, that's what
you'd
I mean.
Say
you'd say the name.
Yeah, you'd
Continental
say the name.
Toyota.
Right.
Your warranty's expiring.
Not, hi, this is your auto dealership. We were looking through our files and we noticed that your warranty's about to expire. Who is this? Your auto dealership.
Hi, this is your hairdresser. Right. You have an appointment at 9 o'clock on Saturday.
Let me speak with Dorothy.
All right. Mary wanted to jump in on this as well before we take a break. Hi, Mary. How are you?
Fine. I believe that any company you do business with, that overrides your listing on the Do Not Call list because you're a client or a potential client.
Right.
So you may think you're on the Do Not Call list, but if you have got any connection, and if you notice when you get like the updated version of your contract for a credit card each year, it gives a whole list of, and we can share your information with.
Yeah, that's disturbing. If it's a company that you're actively working with, I understand them calling me, and I'm fine with that. But if
it doesn't have to be active, you could enroll in like a raffle or something. Like for a
that's what gets you every time. If you're at some little event and you fill out some raffle for a car or a free trip, they totally say right on that thing you fill out, we will sell your name to everyone in the world.
Right.
Good.
It'll get you.
That's
Thank
terrible.
You, Mary.
Thanks, Mary.
And do we have time to squeeze in Nicole?
Always.
All right. We'll squeeze in Nicole. Hi, Nicole.
Hi. The best wrong number call, I had actually called what I thought was a friend of mine to let her know when my mother passed away. And shortly thereafter, I was still making phone calls. And somebody had called from her number letting me know that I had the wrong number. The gentleman was so nice. He was very apologetic, passed condolences, but wanted to let me know quickly that I had left the wrong, you know, that I had called the wrong number. I just thought that was so considerate.
He handled it well, didn't he? That's perfect.
He didn't wait a year like Bill did?
No. He actually waited just a few minutes. He must have gotten it. And I thought that was really nice just to, you know,
it
was
nice.
Sweet.
Sorry about your mother, Nicole. That is a good story.
Thanks, Nicole.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. See, there are some nice people out there.
So remind me again, don't wait a year.
No.
Just wait a minute and then call back and say you got the wrong number.
I would say after...
I thought it was a year. I thought a year was a reasonable amount of time.
I could even... I would do it right away after one call, but I would say, why don't you wait two calls? Because then maybe it was just a randomly wrong dialed number.
Yeah.
But, you know... regularly every 6 weeks for 2 years. Maybe I'd call sooner.
Right. All right. From here on in. All right. A quick break, and then Steve has the news, and then there's more show. It's us, Bill and Wendy on WGN. Thank you, Steve. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. We're at 312-981-7200 if you want to call in. Did you see who's getting body shamed? Somebody's getting body shamed, Wendy, and it's somebody I never thought would get body shamed, but they are.
I know who it is, and I bet you smiled when that happened.
I didn't. I felt empathy.
I think it was needless. Go ahead with your story, and I will hold my comments for later.
Jay Cutler, who I'm told is the quarterback for the Chicago Bears, is being body shamed.
It's a bad pose. He's sitting on a boat with Kristen Cavallari, his wife.
Who is not being body shamed.
She looks great.
She does look nice.
That's why you're jealous, too.
I'm not jealous.
That's why you don't like Jay Cutler.
I just know, I'm smart enough to know that if I have put on a couple pounds, I'm not going to sit next to somebody who's in flawless shape, because then you look worse.
I don't think, I mean, he hasn't
I'm
played.
I'm going to find some flabby friends and take pictures with them and post those pictures.
Kevin James, get Kevin James on the phone. I want to tell you that he hasn't played in what?
In 6 years.
Due to an injury, it's been, he's missed a lot of time. So
yes.
I could see that, but it's a weird picture of them sharing a little corner seat on a boat, right? Is that the picture?
Right.
But then there's another picture of them on vacation where he looks awesome.
It's the part of the boat that if you were going to do the trait, I'm the king of the world, you would do it at that part of the boat.
A lot of people who've been on a boat call it the bow.
The bow.
Okay, well, thank you.
Steve speaks boat. I don't speak boat.
I usually drink when I'm on a boat.
Right.
And you hold on.
I would guess that's probably his, like, close to playing shape. I would not be surprised.
Is that true, Kevin?
Quarterbacks don't typically have, like, rocking bodies, you know?
Yeah?
Have you seen the photo of when Tom Brady entered the draft?
No.
It's hilarious. He's, like, a wiry, skinny little, like, IT guy.
Yeah, I know when he was in college.
Jay Cutler did not look heavy to me.
Never.
He looked... In this picture, his legs are at a weird angle.
Yeah.
Because honestly, they show them walking hand in hand down the street. Where are they? Bahamas or Mexico?
In Mexico.
And he looked fine.
Yeah.
He really did. It's just, this was a weird picture.
And it is.
And you know what?
Bears fans hate so much.
It's not even Bears fans. There's a lot of women that are like, oh, he's been eating pancakes on breakfast.
Everyone's blasting him.
I know, and it's just.
Everyone's blasting him. He's wearing a tank top, a camouflage tank top. The camouflage not working, by the way. And
his hair
is extra puffy. If you're going to attack something with the man right now, go after the puffy hair. That's what I would do. But people are ripping him to shreds. He's being body shamed. Here's what it says. Tracy Schwartz in the Chicago Tribune writes, Jay Cutler was able to get away to Mexico last week to celebrate his wife's 30th birthday, but the Bears quarterback couldn't escape criticism as some social media users slammed his, what she calls a vacation body. That's a new term for me. I'm not familiar with vacation body. What is that?
When you're not sticking to your diet.
Care.
And you're
just,
but you know what? The tank top he's wearing is too big. It's like muumuu proportions, and I think that's what is making him look heavy. Although I will say this, every guy I know that is posing for a picture with your arms showing would do some kind of flex to make it look like you had muscles.
Yes, no muscle tone at all.
Nothing. Nothing.
Zero.
I mean, I've done it, and I'm sorry you and Kevin are both guilty of it. If I, like, touch your arm for some reason, my husband does this too, it's like all of a sudden you guys flex.
We're not guilty of that, Wendy.
I would never
oh
do
my
that.
God.
Never.
But, I'm always flexing. That's where your mistake is.
Not just for pictures.
But it's like an interesting little tighten up when you touch a guy's arm. So if you're in a picture where your arms are exposed, if you're showing the guns, water pistols in this case, because he's on a boat.
That.
There is no definition at all to that arm.
Right. It looks like a guy who's never played football.
Honestly.
And if you've been watching the Bears the last several seasons, case dismissed,
And the shirt's too big. Look at it. It kind of fans out by his hip.
Right.
So it looks like he has a big butt, and he doesn't.
Right. Right.
Oh, why did she post that?
He looks so flabby, one Instagram user commented on the picture of Jay Cutler wearing a Nike tank top and shorts. This on a boat with his wife, Kristen Cavallari, as we mentioned. Jay has been eating them pancakes, wrote another Instagram user who didn't care much for diction. Cutler.
I'm sorry, but I am showing you the reverse. They're walking arm in arm, and he looks in great shape.
From behind.
It's just that tank top is too big, and it was very blousy.
Yeah.
And it really makes him look like he's got a big old butt, a bob, if you will.
This is why, Wendy, and I always make fun of you for this, but if you're on vacation, you should always bring a stylist so that if somebody does snap your picture, you look the best you could possibly look. Wendy always says, I got to pick up my stylist. We're going out of town. I always laugh at that.
I will defend Kristen, too, because when you take pictures of you and your significant other, you pick the one where you look the best.
Right.
You don't really care how they look.
Right.
Sorry, true. But that's how
true.
Women roll.
Right. But he's being accused of eating too many pancakes. Look, I watched him in a Bears uniform for years. If he had a pancake in his hand, he would have dropped it. Believe me. Cutler, age 33, hasn't played for the Bears since injuring his shoulder in a November 20th loss to the Giants.
Maybe that's his weak shoulder that is showing, because there's no muscle definition at all.
He has two weak shoulders.
We're the city of weak shoulders.
Yeah, we are. That's why we signed him. His future with the team is uncertain. Let's be honest. His past with the team is uncertain. Every part of his tenure with the Bears is uncertain. So the reason I bring this up is I found myself in a weird thing where I felt sorry for him last night. They did this on the news. They were showing this on the news, and they were reading some of the other tweets about him, and every one of them is negative. And for the first time ever, I never thought this was possible. I felt bad for Jay Cutler.
It's an unflattering shot.
I felt so bad. I canceled my beauty shop appointment with Dorothy for Saturday. That's how bad I felt.
It's a terrible picture, but it is the way it was taken, and that the shirt is too blousy.
Right.
If you look at it, it's not. And quite honestly, you know, younger. Is he a millennial?
No, he'd be too old to be a millennial.
He's How old
30,
is he?
He's 33. Isn't he too old?
That's kind of in the.
Is that on the brink?
Kevin, is that in the millennial?
He's on the cusp.
Yeah.
Give it to him.
Most millennials wear really tight-fitting, form-fitting
right.
shirts.
That's the
so
uniform.
He's not, and it looks, he really looks heavy. He's not.
I know.
Move forward. Anybody looking at that Instagram picture, go to the second picture where they're walking down the street and there's a back view of him.
Better representation of what he actually looks like.
He looks pretty good.
Yeah.
I just can't get over the absolute no muscle tone at all on that arm. It's just like, here's my arm.
That's what it looks like. I know. I know.
It's just bad.
So he should only be photographed walking away. He should only walk away. That's how we should remember Jay Cutler walking away. All right, we'll take a quick break and then we have more show for you. It's Phil F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN. I have another celebrity news bit if we have time. Do we have time for another celebrity news bit?
Yes,
this is
we do.
Marianne's Show Business Report to the Nation, if you're just joining us.
She's doing that again, so be careful.
Oh, is she? All right. From time to time, they will remake a television show from our past. This happens all the time. They'll turn it into a movie because they say that's a good idea. People liked 21 Jump Street when it was on TV. They'll love it on the big screen. So whenever they do that, one of the things they want is they want the blessing of somebody connected with the old so that they can bridge the gap, so they can say to fans of 21 Jump Street, look, Johnny Depp, who got his start on the TV show, is making a cameo in our movie, so that means everybody loves it, right?
What about Richard Grieco? That's what I care about.
Where's Grieco? Where's Grieco Suave? We want him.
God, he was a stud.
Well, now they have turned the TV show Chips into a movie.
And Eric Estrada will be in it.
Eric Estrada calls the movie, and I quote here, pure trash. They have angered Eric Estrada.
Can I tell you the series was kind of trashy?
I was going to say, that was a remake of Chips.
Right.
Exactly.
They just showed how accurate they can be. Right. Chips has never been confused with great television.
Ever.
Ever. Chips was just something that was on. right? You could do anything in the world while Chips was on. You didn't have to focus on the plot line of Chips.
We would not know Eric Estrada today if it wasn't for that.
I don't think
and where's
so.
Larry Wilcox?
I know Larry's still around. I don't think he's in show business anymore, but I know he's still around.
He may shouldn't have been at first.
I don't know. Maybe. It looks like, this is on MSN, looks like Eric Estrada may not be a fan of the upcoming Chips movie, which, by the way, have you seen the preview for?
No.
It does not look like something you need to run out and see.
Yeah, I don't like the remakes of things. I mean, why did they redo Dukes of Hazzard? I know it was a great vehicle for Jessica Simpson and her Daisy Dukes.
Yes.
But, I mean, yes. Has Hollywood officially run out of ideas?
When you see the... Keep that question on the edge of your mind and watch the 2.5-minute trailer for the Chips movie. Because it almost makes you not want to see any movie ever again. It makes you just not want to see this movie, but it makes me want to just say to the theater owners near me, just close up. Don't do this anymore. Estrada, who played Officer Frank Ponch Poncherello on the original NBC series, devoted a portion of his Monday sharing tweets that tore into the upcoming big screen adaptation. One tweet, which Estrada shared with his 24,000 followers.
That's not that many.
You would think Eric Estrada would top off a little higher, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. I mean, he is a good-looking guy.
Here's why he's upset. This is what's bothering him about this. Ready? He's upset about the footage that they show. They show clips from the movie, obviously. It's a trailer in which gunplay takes place. Because I didn't realize this, having watched a total of maybe 2 minutes of Chips throughout its entire run, that the boys on Chips, Ponch and John, either didn't have guns or didn't use guns. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, you don't need a gun to get the kitten out of the tree again.
Right.
Good point.
Right. That's true, isn't it? A second tweet shared by the actor referred to the film as demeaning to fans of the original series. He's concerned that fans, Chip fans, are being demeaned. I tell you that this new Chips movie that is either in the works or done is demeaning to Chips fans. And when he says two Chips fans, he uses the number two. I believe in Salute to Prince. I will not see it, he says. Last week, Dax Shepard and Michael Pena, who star in the big screen adaptation, premiered the trailer of the film on Jimmy Kimmel Live. Now, I was watching that episode of Jimmy Kimmel Live, and they came out on motorcycles. Michael Pena, who's a great actor, Dax Shepard, who's just incredibly likable. And they showed this 2.5-minute clip, and my TV begged me to turn it off. I've never seen a TV put its hands in the praying position. He goes, please turn this off.
Its antennas were in the praying right. position. What did Jimmy Kimmel come out and say after that?
How great it looked. You know, you do what you have to do, you know.
I'm just wondering if it has the same theme, because this is one of the best theme songs ever.
This 3 seconds in, you go, it's 1977.
Come on, man. I love that.
Oh, listen to that. Wasn't Emergency's theme similar, didn't it? It also have that kind of a disco-y siren.
Yeah, and didn't it start out with bomp, 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 or something like that?
SWAT
had a similar.
I was just talking to my son last night about that time when TV themes charted.
Right.
You know, you would hear them on Top 40 radio.
Always.
Believe it or not.
Right.
The Greatest American
Greatest
Hero,
American
that
Hero.
Was totally on the top of the charts.
I think you'll notice now, not only do the theme songs not chart, but most shows now, if they have a theme song at all, it's 6 or 7 seconds because
right,
that's valuable space. They don't want to play out a theme song.
Steve, you want to talk Eric Estrada with us?
Hey, hello, my radio friends. How are you?
How are you, Steve? Everything good?
Yeah, I'm just having my fried bologna and fluffernutters here.
That's a good breakfast. Good for you.
Eric Estrada is a huge star in Mexico on Mexican TV, and all the novellas that they show here on the Hispanic channel, Eric Estrada is a huge soap opera star. Well, novellas, they call him.
Currently, is he currently doing soaps there in Mexico?
I can't answer that.
But he has lately.
He's famous. He's like Huicho Dominguez. He's real famous.
Oh.
Huicho Dominguez is a character in an old novella soap opera from the 90s. But no, he's very famous, and you guys are doing a wonderful job, and my voice sounds terrible, so I'm going to hang up.
Well, thanks for calling in, Steve.
And your
Take
voice
care.
Does not sound terrible.
Not to
but
us.
Thank you. He is playing, according to Internet Movie Data Bill, he is in a movie that is in post-production, or excuse me, pre-production, and he will be playing El Chapo Guzman.
Is that true? That's excellent casting. I want to see that.
He also completed Spring Break 83. They're making it now. I know.
All right.
And yeah, he's been in a TV series currently is Sangre Negra, a TV series. He plays Guillermo Santos Sr.
And that's a Mexican soap opera?
That's my understanding, and it's running right now, 2016 to 2017, so it's still
current.
In production. Yeah.
So when a guy like Eric Estrada blasts this movie, here's what it says to me. That at some point there was negotiations to get him involved in the movie, and they fell apart.
Yep.
And this is his way of saying, I'll show you. Because it's better for everybody if you give him a cameo, you throw him in somewhere, or you have his endorsement. That's better for the movie. So at some point, negotiations obviously fell apart, and this is his way of getting back at him, right?
Bill, maybe they didn't even ask him.
That would be a slam.
Because Larry Wilcox, they were a great team,
right.
I got to tell you. But
right.
Eric Estrada
yeah.
was quite a good-looking guy.
And then the third guy on the show was Robert Pine.
Yeah.
Tall, thin guy with grayish hair, who's like, his son is Chris Pine, who's one of the hottest stars in Hollywood. That's his son.
I don't know who Chris Pine is.
He's the guy who plays Kirk in the new Star Trek movies.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's his son. Yeah. He's a good actor. He's a really good actor.
We've offended somebody. I hate to do this. Hey,
oh,
Kevin,
no.
What's going on?
As a lifelong Chips fan, Bill, you have offended me to no end.
I didn't mean to do that. What happened?
You're saying that show's not worth watching, and that, you know, it takes me back to my childhood in my footy pajamas watching Chips in Emergency, and it's like you're saying my childhood never existed.
No, I don't mean to say that. What I'm saying is you could have done something while Chips was on and not missed any major plot points. You agree with that, don't you?
Come on, it was the precursor to Cops.
Every car explosion was different, subtly different.
Right, I guess. All right, you win. I give in to you. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin.
I accept your apology.
All right. Take care.
I love the theme song.
You know who was a frequent guest star on Chips? Was our old coworker, Danny Bonaducci, made several appearances on Chips.
I forgot about it.
They would do a thing often, like somebody that they would pull over was a star from another show. That was like a running thing on their program.
Well, sure. They wanted someone to tune in once in a while.
Right.
It really, I
it
probably
was
watched
popular.
Two episodes in my life.
I couldn't sit through a whole episode. I watched like 30 seconds here or 20 seconds there.
I was just looking at Ponch's butt. That really was all I was doing. I'd fast forward the VHS and stop it on his butt.
Yep.
He looked good in beige.
Yep. All right, let's take a quick break. We have more show for you. Tim Cavanaugh is going to stop by. Dane Neal's going to stop by. And stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks very much. It's Bill Leffin, it's Wendy Snyder, joined in studio by Dane Neal. You know him from Access Appetite and the highly acclaimed Dane Neal Show
nice.
Podcast. It is highly acclaimed, isn't it?
Sure. You've got some acclaim going.
Some of it high.
Of the high variety.
Right. There's been some medium acclaim for it.
Sure.
So, but some of it's been very high.
Well within the average, the norm.
That's good.
Acclaim-wise.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Haven't seen you in a couple of weeks. I haven't. I was gone. Everything good? Good holiday season and everything?
Well, I was. Yes. Thank you, Bill, for thinking of me and the family and our holiday activities. And I was you for a moment because, you know, you had to, I think with any level of excellence, you have to ease into honing your skills. You know, you take a day off, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you're not at that championship level. So you eased in, and I was you for one of those ease days.
He did a great job.
Yeah. Well,
Bill, you can go home.
I'm done.
No, just a little extra claim is fine.
That's
all I need.
That's fine. You have brought in some guests. Who is here with you?
Oh, well, and I think as an homage to activities that you hold near and dear, as well as the food side in studio, we have Chef Ed Porter. He is the director of food and beverage for Spin.
And a place I know and love very
know
much.
Know and love, right, because it contains things that you either need, you like, or you really love, which is,
true.
You know, food, beverage, a good time, and maybe some ping pong
mm-hmm.
action. They have got a great event coming up for a good cause, and they have brought in some of the top chefs in the Chicagoland area, in Chicago City proper here. And so also in studio with us from Giant, that has received actual high acclaim.
Not the bogus acclaim that I just pinned to you, no, but real acclaim.
My claim is you know, ambiguously possible.
Sure.
Yeah, sure. Is Chef Jason Vincent. So happy and excited and honored, obviously, to have him in studio. So 32 chefs are going to be competing at Spin for the Chef Paddle Battle. We've got Ed Porter in studio and Jason as well. It's going to be great.
Welcome
aboard,
guys.
Are chefs good at ping pong typically?
No. Yeah, so I'm with Jason. I mean, I have to kind of say that I'm okay. I have to say I'm okay, but at the end of the day, I'm not going to win.
See, I've seen Bill play, and Bill, you are highly acclaimed. You're remarkable.
You.
Like
thank
if you, you YouTube ping pong championships, if you Google that and you see these people moving so quickly and putting spin on the ball, that's why I will never play with him. I like to take my time. I'm just trying to get back over the net, nice and easy.
Leisure.
You don't do anything
get
nice
it
and
into
easy.
The red cup.
Ike Turner.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, and Wendy, you often say it, and we talk about it, is that like chefs are the new rock stars,
yeah,
right? And then chefs are, you know, a lot of times they'll say it themselves in a humble ways that many of them are failed musicians.
Oh, yeah.
That have then become chefs. And then this event for a great cause, Foundations of Music, is going to be the one supported with the event. So if you've got to have some competitive chefs that also, like you do, Bill, love ping pong, because, you know, 32 chefs, that's a lot of people to be participating. And there's some great ones, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's we have a slew of great chefs, you know. Obviously, Jason's going to be there. I think he's the front runner. I mean, I talked to him a little bit. I think he's going to pull some stops
sleeper,
out.
Right? Because
exactly.
He's just like, hey,
yeah,
I've
yeah.
never even heard ping what?
No, wait, are you using ping pong?
It's always those guys. He's the fat swall of ping pong.
Are you using ping pong balls or maybe olives or meatballs?
No,
or something
gonna,
like that?
We're going to be a purist.
Okay,
we're going to go with ping pong balls.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought about using the, you know, maybe a spatula or two, but we'll go with the ping pong paddles and keep it pure.
A pizza paddle,
absolutely.
You know, they slide
the thing,
it into
the
oven.
Deal is this. So, like Dane was saying, it's benefiting music, Foundations of Music, and chefs. And most chefs, either whether you were a musician, every chef plays music in the kitchen, whether in their head or on some kind of device. And most chefs that I know, everybody's competitive. So whether they want to, going into it, it'll kick in. It's that gene. That's true.
Whenever exactly. You watch any of the cooking shows on television, there's a competitiveness, there's an aggression that you wouldn't think somebody would have in that line of work. But no, they're on fire all the time. Why is that, do you think?
I'm actually more worried about you. Ever since I walked into the building, you're all I've heard about.
Yeah, you should be afraid of him.
Oh, Bill's really good.
Yeah, are you going to be there for this? Claim?
If I can be, I would love to come out.
You
I
should.
Would love to.
You should. You should. Absolutely.
When is this happening, by the way?
This is happening on
the 23rd.
Yes, on Monday. Yes, it's,
yeah.
It's going to be a blast. You got to come out. It starts at 7 p.m. Again, it's going to be a tournament, 32 chefs, last man standing. It's going to win a trophy. And going to have a party at Spin for staff. That's an also.
Can I fill if one of the chefs, if something untoward
you
happens
fill in
to them,
me.
Could I fill
I mean, like,
I don't want to fill
you
it for
fill
you.
It for
you
me.
Just got a glint in your eye, too.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm pretty sure.
Be careful.
Yeah. I have a jacket. You probably can fit. You know, never mind. They'll call you Ed for the night. You know,
you mentioned the competitiveness of chefs, but Dane, and you've mentioned this so many times, because a lot of times you will bring chefs from different places. Despite the competition, you all kind of help each other. It's a nice little community you have.
Absolutely. It's definitely a fraternity, if you will, of sorts, 6 degrees of separation. And that's also what we do with Spin. So not only do we want to be a pillar of the community, but we things like this, the Foundations of Music, the Remix Project, things of that nature, we will always want to be not just a business in the area that we're in, but
yeah.
Actually be an actual part of the community.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
Wendy, you hit on that too. You know, the community is communal and supportive and wants to help out good causes. Foundation Music is one of those that has been really supported. Ed, and of course, Chef Ed Porter, he is the food and beverage director for Spin, but also a competitor himself. He's won on Guy's Grocery Games on the Food Network.
Oh,
so
yeah?
I was
yeah,
curious, like,
yeah.
How this event, like, who sits down at a table, a ping pong table, and says, hey, let's put something together, and then gets it to resonate with so many people in the community?
Well, you know, at Spin, you know, it's a total engagement of, you know, sound, music, food, beverage, and then at the very core, sport.
Yeah.
So it's very hard. You'd be surprised. You dump a basket of balls next to a table, two paddles, and just watch what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's totally magical.
They play ping pong?
Well, no, but
some juggle.
You would see the most feeble of people turn into a monster.
Yeah, right.
Because there's something about losing that nobody wants to do. Even, you know, it's nobody wants to do it. Right. Like, I play with my daughter. Yeah. Who's I'm not good and she's not good, but I'm gonna beat her. At least I can beat her.
Right. At least
I got one.
Like you, Bill.
I got one. You know. So
you're going like, down. Like 4-year-old
like
daughter.
If we play, my goal,
yeah,
is to return a serve. Just one. If I get 1 point,
you may not be able
drop.
To.
I'm gone. Thanks. I've won. That's all there is to it.
Well, and you kind of hit on it. To have a club that is devoted, obviously, to food and, you know, and spirits and good times, but also with kind of ping pong as that front burner thing, it's got to be something that relates to a lot of people. And I think it is one of those. It's one of those rare sports that you can play as a little kid to whatever level, all the way up until maybe your senior years. But there is a big difference between people who are like you know, nationally or world ranked, as opposed to, you know,
people who just want to have
daughter.
Fun.
Yeah, right. but I think everybody can participate.
It's true, and again, like for us, like we're actually coming up on our year anniversary.
Has it been a year already?
Yeah,
March 4th.
March 4th will be a year, and it's great that, you know, we have, you know, be able to have guys like Jason,
yeah,
you know, and Rebecca Goldfarb and all these other highly acclaimed chefs in their field. And sometimes, and most of them, let's be honest, some of them probably don't play ping pong.
Right.
And so you got to kind of let your guard down a little bit to be a little silly and fun and interactive. And also, you know, it's one of those things that you know, there's going to be some alcoholic beverages there.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's going to be some food. And at the end, everybody's a winner, but not really.
But that's the thing.
But not really.
Participation.
If you buy your opponent a bunch of drinks just before the match, you know, that's
is that your strategy?
I have a strategy.
Yeah, that's what I do.
If you don't work out as my stand-in, I have a whole nother. I have a whole slew of strategies.
Wait. We have to pay for drinks.
Uh-oh. Oh no. Uh-oh. not you, sir. Not you.
Everybody
so
else.
You're
does.
Taking care of. We have.
Jason,
we
you're
have
safe.
A thing.
You're safe.
Yeah.
For people who don't know, we've had Spin on a couple times on the show, and the history is really interesting, and it has to do with one of our favorite actors. Doesn't it?
Yeah. Susan Sarandon is a co-founder. Again, it started in New York City as a party. So yeah. It was a loft party that had ping pong, cool people, art, great food, and that's what we do every day. It's been we throw a great party.
How many locations now?
Right now, five.
Five locations.
Yeah, and there's a couple more in the works. I won't mention right now until they actually pop up. But yeah, it's been great. You know, and the big thing for Spin, we just want to be embedded into the fabric of the community. And again, that's why this thing is so important. So tickets are $10 for the Chef Paddle Battle.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
Not at all. There is also a silent auction, and there'll be prizes such as dinners at these acclaimed, as Dane said, restaurants with chefs that are participating. And it's going to be awesome. Revolution Breweries are also going to be a sponsor for us. So it's just great. Overall, all around, great time.
32 chefs, and you've got chefs, of course, Jason Vincent, Michael Cornick from DMK, Andrew Zimmern from Sepia, Henry Hill from 2-6, you know, many, many others.
30. Boyardi, is he going to be out there?
Boyardi is, he's out there.
That guy.
Is he in the San Francisco event?
Yeah.
Not a fan?
No, he's great. way above our pay grade.
January 23rd, 2017, and Ed had mentioned that the tickets are only $10, so anyone can
bucks.
Go. But Bill's been there a number of times. Lots of people can enjoy it 360, well, some odd days a year. So as the guy, you know, there representing the food, what kind of food do people? They know they got the ping pong. What do they enjoy as far as food?
Well, at Spin, pun intended, what we do is put a spin on classics. There'll be things that you have, and we have both event and retail food. So two completely different things. So if you came in off the street on our retail menu, you'll have things. I have new things coming out, like little Italian dip sandwiches, and
like a French dip, but Italian dip.
Italian dip.
And we have Chicago.
Exactly. We have truffle fries and all the usual suspects. The thing is, we want to have food that you could play and eat as well.
Yeah.
So try to do
that's
away from,
important.
Exactly.
You don't want to get, you know.
Yeah. There's nothing worse than, you know, one-handed playing when you're not really that good anyway.
Right. Right. You're very accommodating. But
everybody
in that way.
Can see, and it's ping pong for everybody. It's ping pong for the people. So whether you're really, whether you're really good or whether you're like really not or you're a novice, there's a place for you, and it's not a pretentious environment. And like myself, I'm really not that good, but I'm very competitive. So as long as I get one.
That's all you need.
As long as I get one, that's all there is to it.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll pick up right where we left off. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. Dane Neal is here from AccessAppetite.com. And what they're telling me, the highly acclaimed Dane Neal show. That's
it
a
is.
Podcast. Ed Porter is here, food and beverage director over at Spin. Jason Vincent is here, chef extraordinaire from Giant. Let's talk about Giant for just a little bit. For people who have not had the pleasure of eating at Giant, what can they expect?
Extraordinary.
Extraordinary.
Would definitely be my turn good. For myself and for the restaurant. We're just a small neighborhood place. We've taken a lot of time and just doing the little things right, ideally making people feel like we want them there and treating people like humans. And, you know, that includes the staff, which then translates to the clientele. And, you know, on top of it, we're pretty good cooks.
Is this your first place?
No.
You had others?
As an owner.
As an owner, it's your first.
Yeah.
But you've worked everywhere.
For those people that may not be aware, you know, Jason, of course, Knightwood, he was so synonymous with that. He is also a Grand Cajon champion as well. And so he's had all of the street cred on the chef's side. Right. There you go.
It's there.
I don't know if there's ping pong involved with that. There wasn't.
No,
but
separate.
You never know.
But that's a big jump from where you've worked in the past has been a great experience. But to own a place, it's all on you.
More headaches,
isn't it?
Though, right?
Yeah, you know, I have my two partners, Ben and Josh, are unbelievable. And, you know, together as like a three-headed monster, we can pretty much tackle anything. I mean, don't get me wrong. There was months of sleepless nights before we opened, you know, just with raising money and a bunch of stuff that I didn't know how to do, you know?
Yeah.
And like the you know, looking at somebody and saying, hey, will you give me a bunch of money to open a restaurant? And them going, I don't know about that.
That'd be a hard thing to ask.
Yeah. That's when the souffle comes in.
Right. that's funny. A lot of them I did cook
this
for.
This is very true.
And it was like, yeah. But, you know, since we've been very, very, very fortunate. It's been received very well. And, you know, I'm thankful.
Congratulations. Yeah. I'm glad it's such a huge success.
Oh, but super thoughtful. And I know that he's, you know, throughout that process of being a part of all those places, you know, the restaurant business is very difficult. And you can be as talented and as creative on the culinary side and still not be part of a successful business. And so, and I remember talking with him, you know, trying to get him on. Hey, let's talk about it. He's like, you know, I've got to get this right and this right. So real thoughtful on the process and also thoughtful about the reasons that he's supporting this event. You know, the Foundations of Music is one of the things that, of course, him and his family and his wife are near and dear, hold near and dear as far as music. And I mean, I think it's a pretty good cause that you guys chose for this, because as we mentioned before, so many chefs, you know, are musical and have that in their background of passions.
And you mentioned the Foundations of Music. I went to the website, and it's basically just making sure that kids have the means and access to music education and opportunity. Some kids will never see an instrument if it's not available in their schools. And you don't know you love something until you try something. So what a great organization.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, and it's like music predates linguistics. You know what I mean? And
then
all of a sudden, the Boneheads in Springfield are going to and haw and
they should put a band together.
Music gets cut out of public schools, and it's unacceptable.
It's such an important thing, and every time they defund music programs, I scratch my head saying, why would you do that? It builds character and personality. You're really working against yourselves on that. So it's so important to have the funding come from somewhere. I'm glad you guys are doing this.
Yeah, and I mean, books. I mean, so much more. It's, you know, it's just,
absolutely,
it's such a head-scratcher. But to support stuff like this is, I feel, very important.
For me, too, music and food are synonymous.
Yeah.
They're the ultimate mood shifters.
Yeah,
there's
time.
A song, and there's a dish that can take you to places that you've been or want to go or would want to ever see. And that's where they're so intertwined.
That may be the most beautiful thing that's ever been said on our
honest
show.
Honest to God,
ever.
That has just completely...
Would you say acclaimed?
Deserving of acclaim.
I say acclaimed.
I love that. You should do like a reality show about, you know, how they have wine pairings. You should have music pairings with meals.
It's a think tank.
Let's talk
right
to Jason.
I want to be in on it somehow.
We'll figure this thing out.
Can we take this quick call real quick? We're talking about ping pong. Your name's Terry. You played ping pong against Bill how many years ago?
About 40 years ago. Actually, his brother I used to play a lot with, but he says, oh, you got to play Bill. So we went down to his house and went upstairs, and He was good back then.
Oh, you should see him now.
It was. Well, thank you. It was a pleasant experience, though, right, Terry? You stayed with the game after we played.
No dossier?
Yeah.
I play with my son all the time in our basement, and yeah, you can enjoy that when you're 7 years old or 70.
It's true.
Well, cool, Terry.
Thanks, Terry.
You
good to talk to you again.
Head on over to Spin. This is all happening when again? What are the deets for only $10?
January 23rd, 7 to 10 p.m. It's Monday, January 23rd, Spin. It is the Chef Paddle Battle. Tickets are only $10 while they last. And Ed, what's the website for people?
Yeah, you can go and get tickets on our Facebook, Spin Chicago Facebook, going to current events and get them right there.
Sounds like a blast. I'm going to do my best to be there. It really does sound like fun.
They don't want you to be there.
You signed on already. No, we want you there. All right. You signed on already. Right. I'm expecting you.
I'm in. Jason, Ed, thanks very much. Dane, as always, we appreciate you being here. We'll take a quick break and find out what's coming up in the news with Kim next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
They say you can tune a piano, but you can't tune a fish. Well, actually, I can tune a fish every day at the fish cannery. I also can sardines. I pack them in tight like sardines.
Oh.
'Cause that's what they are. And that's what I do if there's room for one more. I'll squeeze in two.
You know what Tim Kavanaugh does, Wendy, is he
make
observes.
Make weird okay, because I love you, but you are
weird
so
okay.
Out there,
he makes the weird okay. He takes things that happen in everyday life, and he somehow magically turns them into music, and who doesn't enjoy that? Hi, Tim.
Hi, Bill.
Nice
Hi,
to see
Wendy.
You.
How
Kavanaugh's
are you? It's
here,
good
everybody.
To see you both.
You as well,
my
Tim.
My gosh, good to see you guys together.
Yeah.
Yeah, because...
you've seen us separately.
I've seen both of you separately and have carried on conversations with each one of you.
Yeah.
About the other one.
About the other one, of course.
You know what I hate about Wendy? Tim will say to me, and I'll go, what? And then I go, oh, here's the next 2 hours listening to this.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
But the thing is, when I talk to you outside of the studio, you guys don't have microphones and stuff.
No, we don't.
So
have any,
I really
we look
don't.
Different, don't we?
I don't care that much about what we talk about.
So on air, there's it's
on
more
air. This is I'm jazzed. Yeah. I'm excited about this.
Yep.
Because what we say is going to be heard
by dozens of people.
Let's hope.
Let's hope so.
Let's hope.
You are just really a pleasure to have in, and every time you come in, I forget how funny you are.
I'm very optimistic.
Yes.
You are.
Which is nice.
Better than being funny, it's yes. better to be optimistic.
Yes. My father-in-law is 91 years old, still the most optimistic guy I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah, every night before he goes to sleep, he puts a dollar underneath his pillow, hoping to get some of his teeth back. I mean, that's optimism.
I don't think it works that way, Tim. Tim's performing.
It hasn't worked for him.
No, it doesn't work. I'm positive. Tim's performing Friday night at CD and Me in Frankfurt with Jim McHugh, another fine
very,
comedian.
Very, very funny guy.
That's going to be a good show. You
it's
and
a
Jim
great
McHugh
show.
In one show?
Yep. And all the Frankfurters that they can fit into the room.
Is that right?
You're going to put them in like sardines?
Yep. That's right.
Now, Wendy, you witnessed this when Tim came in. You gave me what I would say is the most awkward handshake I've ever experienced. what was behind that handshake?
Well, here's what happened is I was carrying a bunch of stuff.
A guitar.
Because apparently, you know, your people here at WGN don't believe in actually helping any of the
right,
guests.
Right.
You know,
we don't have people. Kevin's got to be in three places at one time.
Well,
his other shows have people.
Yeah. I wasn't going to mention Kevin.
Oh.
But let me just say that Dane, who was just in here,
right.
Yes.
he had like four people.
Yes.
And a couple of them were big, strong
yes.
people.
Yeah.
Good ping pong players.
You
a
could
lot
tell
of them.
By looking at them.
And it's like, did they offer to help me out with this?
No.
So I come in and I give Bill this little limp hand thing
yep.
because I'm carrying my Sherwin-Williams. Bad.
But it was a reverse.
I know.
You're right-handed, so my inclination would be to shake your right hand.
Yeah.
But you had things in your right hand.
All I had.
So
was
you went
my left
left-handed
hand.
And upside down.
Yeah, yeah. It was flipped yeah. over.
Yep, it was a reverse.
It is
handshake.
So cool. It's going to be the new cool thing.
It was like
we
a
started
fish,
it right here.
A fish handshake, which ties into the new album "Love Fish and Sausages."
Love fish
is
and
that
sausages.
Why you did it?
That's exactly right. Yeah, I'm doing. Yeah, I don't even want to tell you how I act out the sausage.
I don't want to know.
But the fish part, yeah, I just it's kind of a limp hand kind of thing.
I like it.
At least the hand is limp.
Yeah, exactly. As opposed
To the sausage.
Okay, there's
right,
love
yes.
and sausage, and we put fish in the middle just to break those two
Did
up.
Did you notice, Tim, that a lot of times with the younger kids, the younger people out there, instead of doing a traditional handshake like has been going on since biblical times,
right.
they'll either fist bump or they'll move their elbows toward each other or they'll do like a weird Navy salute or something with their
hands. What you're doing is a Three Stooges thing.
Yeah. Well, I shouldn't do that. That just happened kind of by accident.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, hey, you know what? Accidents happen, and a lot of them are really good.
Yep.
You know, the fist bump thing, mm-hmm. you know, that was just somebody who had, you know, a broken hand.
Is that how that started?
That's how it started, of course. Yeah.
Didn't absolutely. You guys have secret handshakes with your kids?
No.
Because I'll tell you, Jimmy Mack, I don't. It's a boy thing. We have boys. But Jimmy Mack has a secret handshake with each of the boys that they don't do every day. They used to, though. Every day before school, it'd be a fist bump, a slap to the side. Oh. They had this whole weird thing.
Yeah.
You should do that for your the people that come out to see you. You could have like a secret handshake.
I should do that because sometimes after the show, I stand out there. You know, begging for compliments.
You and do that people, after the show?
People go past me and they shake my hand sometimes. Sometimes they say, boy, you look so lifelike.
Now, Tim, I know that sounds like a negative, but that's when you think about it, that's a very positive thing they just said.
I think it's very positive, you know, because a lot of people
you are
watch
lifelike.
Me and it's like, wow, is he an audio animatronic?
No, you're a real guy.
No, I'm an actual guy. I mean, you couldn't have enough battery power for me to go.
No.
Is an audio
How
animatronic.
Many D-cells would it take to run you?
Who has a couple hundred.
A few hundred D-cell batteries.
And they won't let me on the plane with them anymore.
Oh, it's true, too.
The Samsung Galaxy.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to mention that. Is the Samsung Galaxy, was it 7? It's the 7.
It's the 7.
Okay, because I was thinking it was 720. It's like your radio station.
No,
it's but no, it isn't.
We should do a promotion.
Right. That's a really
good. Want an exploding
phone?
That's
a winner.
Caller 10.
I'll tell you what. For some people, it's a tragedy, but for you guys,
turn
it into a positive.
That's the whole thing.
Samsung
It'll blow up.
Galaxy
It'll be so
720 WGN.
Yep.
That'd be kind of cool.
The promotions department people right now throwing up upstairs.
You know what? They don't listen.
You don't think they're listening?
No. No, I've seen the billboards. So, no, I'm just joking. Are you guys on a billboard?
Not our faces.
I think we have our faces on a billboard.
But
no.
WGN has billboards.
Okay, yeah. I've seen the WGN, but I haven't seen you guys on a billboard.
No,
we like to remain anonymous.
Right. It's better to stay
under
the radar.
You know what? You're right, because you guys can go to restaurants and stuff like that, and people aren't bothering you.
Can Steve Cochran do that? No.
No, Steve Cochran can't. He's too big.
Right. But yeah, we've kept our anonymity right where we want it. Yeah.
And by the way, I love Steve.
Yeah,
Steve
everyone
Cochran.
Does.
You know what? And I even like him, even though I found out he's adopted. So I don't know if he's really
Wait, why
Cochran
should,
or what. You
why
know,
should that should have nothing to do with how much you like him, should it?
I guess not.
Do you
but,
not like adopted people?
Well, he just was saying he doesn't know if
not
he's
all,
truly a Cochran.
I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know.
I see what you're
you
saying.
You know, Cochran is kind of an English-Irish thing. And, you know, he could be anything for all I know.
Yeah.
So I like to know the man's nationality.
Isn't the English-Irish thing Cockney? Not Cochran?
It is. Usually. Cockney is an accent.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which I do very well, by the way.
Let's hear it.
Do you do an accent? Mm-hmm. We'd love to hear it.
Hello, mate.
I felt like I was in England.
Yeah.
I did not.
It's the Cockney.
That was excellent.
That's Henry Higgins.
You have a talent that I was not aware of. That's fantastic.
I do voices. I do dialects.
Can you do it one more time really quick, and then we have to go to a break?
Hello, mate.
Boy, that's amazing.
It's a little Australian, too.
Yeah. It's very global.
Well, that's what I like to think.
Tim Cavanaugh.
You are a one-man band, aren't you?
I don't know what the hell I'm doing here.
He's from the United States.
But I'm having fun. I'm from the United States.
Yes.
Steve Cochran, also from the United
States. Yeah, that's what we're hearing.
And you're both living persons.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
CD and me in Frankfurt coming up this Friday with Jim McHugh. I wonder if he does voices. You guys could both do a travelogue.
I've asked him not to do any of his voices
before me. Steps on your material.
Because, yeah, exactly right.
Yep, I get it.
And people aren't going to enjoy my Irish priest.
Right. CD and me.
That's it.
.com. Now we're being told that people are returning tickets, Steve. How can that be, Tim? People who have purchased tickets are now returning them? How can that be?
You know, and it's one size fits all. So I don't see why they would return the tickets at all.
815-469-7315 is the phone number if you want to call and complain. We'll do a quick break and then more with Tim Kamen on Next Bill and Wendy WGN.
You look so pretty with your head upon your pillow. Your eyes are barely open. Sleep calls to you, it seems. We met, we drank, we made love, then we planned our lives together. Now go to sleep and have the sweetest dreams. This is my lullaby. Bye. I won't be here when you awake. This is my lullaby. Bye. And my name's not really Blake. I'm not a doctor, yes, I lied. I really work at Subway. And, well, this part-time sandwich artist had to get in your pants some way. And that prescription I wrote you for Vicodin isn't gonna fly. This is my lullaby, bye, bye, bye. And I'm stealing all your forks just to make for a funny police report.
Yes, officer. He wrote me a fake prescription and then stole all my forks.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sure he did. That's all we'll need for now. We'll be sure to put an all-points bulletin out for those forks. And we'll see what we come up with.
This is my lullaby, bye, bye, bye.
I thought you were optimistic.
Tim, what happened to the optimism?
You know what? I had a down day.
Is that your dark period?
I had a down. I wouldn't even call it a period.
Just a bad
day. It was a couple of hours.
Oh, really?
And,
it inspired a song?
It inspired a song for me. And, you know, I'd read stories about, you know, guys who, you know, steal forks from women that they have one night stands with.
Right.
And so I said, well, that's something that I should write a song about.
You turned it into a positive.
I just made that up. I don't know. I don't know. I don't even know why I had you play that song. But
because it's beautiful.
But it's pretty. It's
beautiful.
Like on my album, Love, Fish, and Sausages, which, by the way, is available on iTunes. You can get CDs at CD Baby.
Yeah.
Go to my friends at Picklehead Music. There's all kinds of places where you can get it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really fun. It's really funny. That one is a little bit, as I said, it's a little bit of a downer because the guy's kind of a scumbag.
So great choice for playing on the air.
You know what? Kevin, what? Kevin came to me and said, what should we play? And I panicked.
Let's upset.
No,
I panicked.
No
problem. And I said, Cut 18.
You have nothing to apologize for. Speaking of Cut 18, a lot of times when you go out and you buy a CD, when you get in a time machine and go back in time and buy a CD in a store, your CD will have 10 or 12 songs on it. Not when you buy a CD from you, Tim Kavanaugh.
No.
How many tracks are on your CD?
There are 21 tracks.
21 tracks.
21 tracks.
You're like the Beatles.
Yep.
19 of them are really, really good.
Oh, what happened, Tim, on the other ones?
You know what? There's a contractual obligation. I had to do 21 songs.
Yeah.
And I really only had 19. Well, so I wrote a couple extra,
clinkers.
Something.
Yep. Can I ask you a question? Will you be selling your Love, Fish, and Sausages CDs at CD and Me in Frankfurt?
You know what? That's a really good idea. That's exactly
that.
What I'll do. I'm going to sell
Friday
them
night?
After the show, and I'll autograph them. And this is kind of the cool thing.
Huh.
I just got power of attorney for Wilford Brimley, so I can sign his name also. So
oh, that'll
if you
be
want
excellent.
An extra autograph, collector's
item.
I'm happy to do that.
That's fantastic
news. Yeah, it's fun.
You brought your guitar.
I did.
Is it
it's
possible?
Just a prop.
It's not a real guitar? That's a real guitar. Is it still working?
It's still working.
Okay, good.
Yeah, no, I do that all the time.
That's fun to do. El Cabong.
I'm not coordinated in the least. but I do play the guitar. And you know what? I've been doing some things. I've been doing some shows for Carnival Cruises.
Yeah.
And one of the weird things is I do 5 shows every cruise. And 2 of them are family friendly, and 3 of them are R rated.
Really
supposedly.
Raunchy?
And I don't really do R rated stuff.
No.
On the other hand, my family friendly stuff. When you start thinking, oh, there's going to be kids in the audience, it's like, well, I don't necessarily. Well, here's my thinking.
All right.
kids love animals, don't they?
Yeah,
sure do.
Absolutely. So I like to do a song from that I do for my show.
All right.
If this is for the all ages show, here we go. Hit a raccoon with my car last night. Deep in my tire treads, there's remnants of him still. I look at those tires, I see death and misery. Flies look at my tires and see a rotisserie. It's meals on wheels for the neighborhood flies. A movable feast on my radial tires. I like drive-through food. Flies like food that's driven through, and the stuff's apparently good. That raccoon had good years ahead, till my good years killed him dead. His life in the fast lane didn't last too long. Now I know the meaning of raccoon pinion steering. For flies, it means meals on wheels. What I realize is that all the animal songs I have, and I have several.
You got a lot of animal songs.
They're all dead.
Oh, they are.
All, they're all about...
Hey, well, Loudon Wainwright did okay with that.
Yeah.
That's what happened. Yeah, I know. He got that dead skunk in the middle of the road thing, which...
Can we just quickly review one of the lyrics? Raccoon pinion steering? Raccoon, am I hearing that right?
Yes. Now I know the meaning of raccoon pinion steering.
Love it.
Which, thank you. Thank you. That's the debate that's raging in my head.
Yeah.
Is that the worst line or the... Or the best line ever. And I'm torn. I really don't know.
Very good. Tim, there's been a lot of controversy with the inauguration.
Oh my God.
There was a Bruce Springsteen tribute band that was supposed to play, and then they didn't. What are your thoughts on tribute bands? Are you a fan of the work?
First of all, I love tribute bands, especially if I don't know the original band. Because it's sort of like, oh, wow, these guys are really good.
Yeah.
And then you find out, oh, that's a Journey band. I said, well, who's Journey? And they... And say, oh, all those songs are from Journey. It's like, oh, my God.
It's almost better not to know sometimes.
It's better not.
It is better.
It's way better not to know because they're not always as good as the regular real band.
That's true.
But in terms of the inauguration, I'm refusing to do my comedy.
You're not going
to
do it?
At the inauguration.
You're refusing?
Did they ask you?
No, but I still, it's the principle of the thing. And know what? And I'm protesting Donald Trump's treatment of Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh, you are? Well,
who's a fellow comedian.
Yep.
Very, very nice person.
Yeah.
Very, very funny.
Right.
And he says awful things about her.
He does.
And so it's sort of like, that's it. You know,
I'm not performing at the inauguration.
You know, this isn't quite as serious as like John Lewis.
Right.
He's saying great things. And, but just for me, just standing up for Rosie makes
me
feel
good. You got to take a stand. You've proven that.
Nice to see you, Tim.
Hey, it's great to see you. By the way, Rosie spelled backwards is eyesore.
Yeah.
Did you ever notice that? That's weird.
Well, why don't you tweet that in the middle of the night and see what happens? That's a good thing to do.
Trump will follow you.
I know, yeah. Donald Trump.
Do you want that?
I don't know if I want that.
Tim Cavanaugh is performing at CD and Me in Frankfurt with Jim McHugh. It's coming up this Friday night. CDandMe.com is the website, or you can give them a call at 815-469-7315. And again, Tim, your website is timcav.com, correct?
timcav.com, T-I-M-C-A-V.
That's
it's
all you
Cav
need.
With a C.
Perfect. Great to see
Perfect.
You. Thanks for being
hey,
here.
Thanks, you guys. Appreciate it.
Thank
a quick
you.
Break, then some news. Thank you, Kim Gordon. Hi, everybody. I'm Bill Leff, and that's Wendy Snyder. And
hello.
You guys know who you are. If you want to call us, if you want to text us, we would invite you to. We would love it. 312-981-7200.
All right. You have to introduce Kevin, too.
And Kevin.
Our producer, Kevin.
Hi.
Our producer, Kevin. You're not even aware of this. Something happened during the break, and this is exciting news.
We're going to talk to Steve from Blue's Clues?
That's one of the exciting things. That's tomorrow.
For reals this time?
Yeah, last week on Friday we were supposed to talk from Steve from Blue's Clues, and there was a lot of times what happens, and this is almost hard to believe if you're not in radio. I'm in radio, and I don't believe it. I don't believe I'm in radio, actually. I'll be honest. A lot of people don't. That's the shocking part for most.
Boy, that was a lovely little trip you took us on. I liked it.
But a lot of times we'll talk to somebody who's on the East Coast or the West Coast, and you have to allow for the time difference. But a lot of times people in public relations don't do that. So Steve from Blue's Clues was scheduled at a time on Friday last week, but his publicist didn't understand that we here in the Midwest are on a different time zone than they are on the East Coast, and it followed things up.
But that is no fault of Kevin, and that's why I say introduce him.
It is no fault of Kevin.
Because he explains, you know, 2 o'clock Central, which would be 3 p.m. Eastern.
Correct.
What is there to...
It seems like an easy formula. You just take the East Coast time and subtract an hour. That's the secret to figuring that out. But for some reason, we've had some bad luck with
that. It has happened on quite a few times. So did Roe get to talk to him? Because
I don't think he had him on. No, I don't think so.
Good, because that would really bum me out.
We'll talk to him. We're hoping tomorrow afternoon.
That's all right. Happening. What else were you discussing over the break?
Here's the other thing that I think is I think this is good for the show, and I think this is good for listeners. I hope it is. About a month and a half ago, during that crosstalk period where Steve Cochran's show is ending and our show is beginning, we were all talking about something, and the word payback came up. I don't remember what the context was, but somebody said payback.
I know exactly what it was.
Why did
Steve Cochran
start?
Was saying something snippy to either you or me, and I said something snippy back to him.
That's what it was.
And he then, said, boy, payback is a...
And then everybody said your name.
Yeah.
I said it. Steve Cochran said it. Dave Ennett said it.
He did not say it.
People passing by on Michigan Avenue said it.
Bertrand said it.
Steve Bertrand said it real loud.
Payback is a Wendy.
Everybody said it.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, guys. Love my coworkers.
I said, wouldn't that make for a lovely T-shirt? In my head, I thought, boy, wouldn't
you
that
be a great...
You
said it out loud, I think.
Did I say it out loud? So then for Christmas, I got you a T-shirt with your face on it that says Payback is a Wendy, and I gave one to Kevin, too.
Have you worn it yet, Kev?
Yeah, I wear it. I wear it all the time.
Okay, I might be dumb, but what does that even mean?
Well, usually the saying is payback is a bitch.
That's how it normally goes.
Oh, got it.
But
okay.
We felt...
See, my coworkers, Kim.
I think Kim wasn't even in the room, and she was somewhere, and she said it maybe. She didn't even understand.
I've always heard payback is hell, you know.
Oh, well, that's bad, too.
Well,
but the phrase that
pays, applies as well.
Yeah.
My kids love it. And they say, you know what, Mom? It's kind of true. And I said, what? You're grounded.
Well, I had two T-shirts printed up. And then I talked to Mark Doyle, who is from
Rags of Honor,
does a great job with vets. And I talked to our friend David Hochberg from Pearl Mortgage. And they said, we want in on this. If you guys are going to do this as a thing for the show, we want in on this. So they have co-helped us.
Well, Mark Doyle did all the work, and David Hochberg paid for it.
Right.
But there is, you know, Hochberg gets a little something-something, too.
Well, I hope so. He deserves it.
Well, because on the back of the shirt...
full circle.
Yes.
Right. Everybody should benefit.
On the back of the shirt is, you know...
David's name and Pearl Mortgage and their phone number.
Bigger than the front, I might add.
Maybe. I don't know.
Payback is a Hochberg. All right.
Right. But
so what are you going to do with these T-shirts?
Well, they just
and Mark Doyle,
them.
I'm shocked at you.
No,
for
he
doing
did a good
this.
Thing. This is a good thing. So during the lunch break, they delivered the shirts. We have a box of them in our office. And
did you laugh?
Yeah, of course I did. I think every time I see it, it makes me laugh. I think it's funny. So can we give one away? And we have them from time to time. We have a small allotment of them, so we can't just give out thousands at a time. But can we give one away now? I think it's a nice collector's item. If you're a fan of the show, you can wear it proudly. If you don't like the show, do with it what you will.
Even if you're not a fan of the show, then it's a slam, too. So you can, it's kind of, it could go either way, the T-shirt.
Yes. Well said.
Why is anyone calling? Who would want this?
I'm telling you, I think it's the fact that it's such a limited edition. There are not a lot of these. I have seen twice our old T-shirts from 20 years ago. Being used for strange things, but
really?
I have seen two of them. Yeah.
You know, the best news is I have not seen an old, T-shirt of ours from previous radio lives at a Goodwill store. So to me, that is a compliment.
That is a compliment.
Because we had limited editions of those too, because
they knew they were going to fire us. So they only printed up 8 of them. That was smart. That was a smart move on their behalf, wasn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Let's give away the first of the Payback is a Wendy T-shirts. You pick the caller. Who do you think is most deserving? Just pick a number. 1, 2, 7.
Lucky seven.
If you're caller 7 right now at 312-981-7200, you will win the first Payback is a Wendy T-shirt.
And we have to get this person's name and contact information, because someday when it's a collectible.
Right.
They were the very first person to ever, well, I was the first person. Right. And Kevin was the second person. This is the third person. Oh.
You're on a t-shirt, Wendy. There's nothing but good in
and
this.
And not in a good way.
Come on.
And I'd like to be on a t-shirt with you.
I don't transfer to cotton.
It's Hi, not Darla. My medium. How are you, Darla? Did I hit the button?
That's our second t-shirt. It's going to say that.
Hi, Darla.
Hello.
Did you call us yesterday?
Did I call you yesterday?
No.
Remember we were talking about Darla. Oh, there was someone in the studio.
One of our guests' name was Darla.
And Bill asked me if I knew another Darla since the Little Rascals, and I said no, and look what happens.
Now you do.
No, we do.
And she deserves it.
You do deserve it, Darla. Congratulations. Is this the proudest moment of your life?
Almost. Almost right up there.
Good.
Do you know what you even won?
I won a t-shirt that said Payback is a Wendy.
See, now you're going to do a spinoff and make your own Payback is a Darla, aren't you?
Well, my boys would probably do that. They'll probably cross it out. They'll get a Sharpie and they'll cross it out on me.
Oh, that's
and they'll put my name where your name is. So.
And where are you calling from, Darla?
I am calling from a small town, Granville, Illinois. Just south of Cherry, Illinois.
Oh, wow. Another town that you or I had never heard of until just a few short months ago.
Tell me she is not a lucky...
I live in the smallest county in the state.
About how many people reside there?
Six.
In the whole county?
Yeah. How many?
In maybe around 1,000, 1,200.
That is small town America. Good.
Well, you're a deserving recipient.
I take that back, because Granville, the largest town, has all of 1,500.
Wow.
So maybe we're talking more like 2,000, 2,500 for the whole town.
That's pretty rural. Good. Well, you will be the envy of everyone in Grandview.
The whole county. Granville.
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 Granville, USA. Wasn't there a movie?
Grandview, USA.
Oh.
Yeah.
Confused.
Oh, that's where the confusion is. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Darla. Hold on, and Kevin will get all your information, and you will soon have a fantastic collector's edition t-shirt with Wendy's face on. A very mean version of Wendy's face, but still her face.
I can't wait.
Oh, I bet you can.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening, Darla. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
You know what? It doesn't say WGN anywhere on that shirt, does it?
Nope. You know who wanted that? WGN.
That would make sense.
When I ran it past them upstairs, they went, "Leave off this part," and it was the WGN logo.
Well, Small Batch has been printed, because, you know, maybe with the remakes, we'll change it up a bit.
All right. Here's what we understand. The President of the United States, our current President, Barack Obama, is scheduled to speak very soon, so we'll catch up with him there. Stay here. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right. It's Bill and Wendy at 720 WGN. Steve Bertrand back in the saddle, and he is monitoring President Obama, who will come to the podium. He was scheduled at 1:15. That's president time.
Right. A lot of times, like in football games, if you go, we can leave in a minute and a half. There's only a minute and a half of football. You know, that means about 20 minutes. He's not the promptest of our presidents.
None of them really are, though.
I'm trying to remember.
I think George Bush was...
Really?
Original recipe George Bush, right?
I think the second two was all about being prompt, as I recall.
Yeah.
Clinton, not so much.
Right.
Well, you know, great disorganized minds.
He always knew where Clinton was when he was late.
I'll be right there. Zip.
Wow.
Celebrity Look, zipper.
Your Payback as a Wendy t-shirt just smiled when you said that. I was looking over at it and it winked and smiled. How'd that happen?
I don't know, but people want these t-shirts and I don't
Is that
know
right?
why. There's
Good.
Someone named Wendy. How do I get one of those? Somebody said ever since it was said on the air, which I almost think Bertrand said before anyone else.
I think Steve thought it before anyone else and said it the loudest, but everybody in the room, as soon as the phrase Payback is a, we all said it. Do you not remember that, Steve?
Oh, it's not quite my record. No. All right.
He wants to take credit for
it. I thought
it
was during crosstalk with Cochran.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah.
You know what? I'm willing to share it, though,
all
because...
Right.
If it means more Payback is a Wendy t-shirts, that's all that's in.
Everyone wins.
And do we get any money out of that? Does that
No. Nope.
I don't get any money and my face is on
no
it.
No one's getting money.
People are going to deface my face.
There's a chance.
I know.
There is a chance.
I know. I have prisoners that listen.
Yep.
I have been using that term ever
They're
since.
They're all prisoners.
Ever since you guys said it. Thanks, Steve. I have been using that term ever since you guys said it. Everybody loves it. Payback is a Wendy. And then my girlfriend Marianne from sixth grade just texted me and said, I tried to be the seventh caller.
Oh, she wanted one.
She can't have one. That's not showing support.
For a friend for 30-some-odd years? 40-some-odd
yeah, no.
years? No?
That's not supposed to happen.
Oh, man. Isn't it, though? I mean, think about it. When you were a kid, did you ever think there'd be a time ever in your own existence that there would be a T-shirt that had your face on it? That seems improbable, doesn't it?
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought
that. That doesn't seem possible. Like, there's guys that I've known in my lifetime, mostly from stand-up, but also from other things, that have gone on and have had action figures made of them. And it's always weird because I go, I've known that guy for 25 years and I can buy him in a store in plastic. It's weird.
That's my goal in life. My first goal was to be in a comic book, and we were.
Yeah.
Legionnaires.
Yeah.
You with your baseball cap, and I'm just standing there.
I was a Starfleet commander, and you were like an analyst, a computer analyst or something.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So that was our first goal, to be in a comic book, and we were.
That worked.
And if, you know... Why can't we have an entrepreneurial business where we start up, you can make action figures of, like, anybody?
Real people. There are a few companies that do that already.
Damn it.
There are. But, you know, like, a good example is Bob Odenkirk. I used to work with Bob when we did stand-up together, and I knew him really well. And, there, like, if somebody said, $1 million bet, will Bob Odenkirk ever be an action figure? I'd go, no.
Yeah, I never would have thought that.
He's not
going to
be an action. He just lives in Naperville. They don't just make action figures of guys from Naperville. And you can get them now in Barnes & Noble. There's a...
The Saul?
Yeah, Better Call Saul action figure.
Lucky.
Isn't that crazy?
And there you go. That is it. Concludes it. And that is almost certainly the last time you will hear Barack Obama speak as President of the United States. President Obama's final news conference from the White House. At my core, he says, I think we're going to be okay. Also talking about Chelsea Manning. He was not asked a question that many in Illinois are concerned about, and that is a possible commutation for imprisoned former Governor Rod Blagojevich. The fact that it did not come up and has not happened yet seems to indicate it is certainly less likely to happen. But that is one question that those of us listening in Chicago were hoping to hear. We did not. President Obama instead summing things up, talking about accomplishments and hopes for the future. Bill and Wendy.
The best out was good luck.
Good luck at the very end. Yeah.
I love it.
Steve, they had said yesterday or the day before that he was on par, President Obama was on par, to break the record when it came to commutations and pardons. Do we know if he broke that record or not?
I don't know the answer to that. I mean, he did it more with a purpose. You know, I there's not been an administration, I don't think that I can think of in my lifetime, where there was sort of a class of criminal that was given commutations the way there was in this administration. You know, there's been on both sides of the aisle this sort of consensus now that some of the drug sentencing from the 90s and 80s was extreme and contributed perhaps to more problems than it solved.
Right.
And so the president did commute hundreds of people who were nonviolent drug offenders. I think that probably fueled his numbers more than anything else.
And your thoughts, personally, Steve, on Rod Blagojevich?
Well, you know, it's a good question. I think, again, there is a consensus among many that his sentence is extreme,
yes.
Or certainly much longer than average. And so when he was commuting Chelsea Manning's sentence and saying that he had served a long time and had been sentenced much longer than most people who committed that crime, you know, I thought, well, that might well make the argument for Rod Blagojevich, but... there's another part of it in that this is personal in many ways. Blagojevich got in trouble for trying to peddle the Senate office that Barack Obama held.
His seat. That's
his
the
seat.
Thing.
But I will say this, too. You know, sometimes, and I'm going to defeat my own argument here, but, you know, sometimes the presidents leave at the last moment, make their most controversial commutations or pardons.
It's set up that way.
Because then they bail.
Well, I mean, it's just that they just do. I mean, I'm thinking of Bill Clinton and Mark Rich. But in this case, I think the Chelsea Manning thing, certainly, no matter Blagojevich, we care about him here. It's not that big of a deal nationwide. Manning is probably the most controversial commutation he will issue, and that's been done.
You know whose name I saw on the list, and I had no idea any of this was going on? The name Willie McCovey.
Yeah, I was. Ryan was talking about that today.
Former first baseman of the San Francisco Giants.
And Duke Snider.
What did these people do?
Tax evasion, correct, Steve? I think it was a tax evasion case. But,
yeah, I think it involved memorabilia, maybe.
Yeah. So I'm looking at the list of people that he's...
OJ's got his fingers crossed.
Keep them crossed, OJ.
His sentencing involved memorabilia as well.
Yeah, it did. But 273 people have either been pardoned or had their sentences commuted by President Barack Obama. That all taking place on Tuesday, the busiest day, I believe, ever for pardons and commutations, which is how I greet people.
I was just going to say, yes.
That's what I say whenever I meet somebody in the hallway.
And I had heard that President Bush was in the hospital. I didn't know his wife,
Barbara was
in as well.
I think she was admitted earlier today.
Yes.
The former president in intensive care as of earlier this morning. So.
Yeah, 92 years old. He has been in failing health in recent years. So.
But he, I thought the president handled that very, very nicely at the very beginning, wishing them good health and talking about what great citizens they are. That was a very nice thing, I thought. So that looks to be it in terms of the presidency of Barack Obama as he addresses the press for the very last time.
Yeah, there won't be an occasion, I don't think, for us to hear him speak again as president.
No, and Bill pointed something out that was interesting. It was just such a calm, cool demeanor among the press corps there that were there to cover it, a little bit different when Donald Trump is speaking. It seems like everyone's on edge, wondering if their questions will get at, you know.
Barack Obama didn't reject anyone's question because of who they worked for. We didn't see any of that today, or I think ever. I don't remember ever seeing that.
And he knows them all by name after 8 years. Who knows? After 4 years, maybe Donald Trump will know all of them and
be as
relaxed with them, too.
It's very possible.
All I can do is hope, Bill.
Yep. All right, let's
keep
do this.
Keep hope alive.
pardons and commutations, to Wendy. Let's take a quick break. Steve will give you the news, and then more show ahead, Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you so much, Steve. We appreciate it. I like to rock. Can I just tell you that I like to go to live shows?
Yeah.
I don't do it that much anymore.
Why did you stop rocking, Wendy? What happened?
I don't know, but I'm going to live vicariously through front row Phyllis, who is in the studio with us right now. And you go to every single solitary show
in the
world,
pretty
much, don't you?
Every single show.
Oh, yeah. All year long. That's all I do. 7 days a week.
You should be more tired than you are. How are you able to function?
You know, hair and makeup.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what it is.
That's excellent.
All right. It's a pleasure to meet you. You've been covering events and going to events for quite some time. What's your website again? Is it just frontrowphyllis.com?
Yep.
I was on it earlier. I was tooling around on it.
Yeah.
And all right, so where do we want to begin? My concept here is I like to hear what's coming to town because there are a lot of times that, oh, my God, they're coming? I was unaware of it. I don't keep track of that anymore. Can you help us with that?
Oh, yeah. Well, let's not forget about this weekend. Lumineers is going to be here, and that is on Friday evening. So, you know, they were just announced they're going to be opening for you two this summer.
I'm a big fan of the Lumineers.
Yeah, so they're going to be here.
What's the song that we would know? Because I know I have one
from
of those.
From Lumineers?
Yeah, what's their big hit? Do you know?
You know what? It's in my head. Well, it's Ho Hey.
Oh, the Ho Hey song.
Ho Hey song.
Yeah. Is that what it's called?
Sometimes they forget the lyrics, Wendy, so they just have to say Ho Hey and then the lyrics come to them.
Exactly. Well, right. You know, it's funny. This is a group that... the critics were saying they're not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
And then shortly thereafter
they
in
said,
2000.
Oh, hey, we're going somewhere.
Not only did they go somewhere, they went to the Grammys, they picked up awards, and then they also were in Hunger Games. So, yeah, they're going to be here on Friday evening over at the Allstate Arena.
Excellent. Play a little of this. I got goosebumps now. You belong
to me, my sweet. But I would have called the song You Belong to Me because that's the part you keep hearing. Ho Hey sounds like somebody's telling you to get out of the way. That's just me. I don't pick songs, Wendy. I just, you know.
All right.
So they're in town Friday.
They are.
Okay.
Kings of Leon, a very popular band.
Right. Okay. So what band can sell out United Center on a Monday night?
Kings of Leon. That's
right.
Yeah.
So they will be here on Monday evening on January 23rd. And these guys, their fans have been waiting. You know, they just released their 7th album.
Mm-hmm.
And
God, they have 7 albums. I am so out of the loop.
Oh, yeah.
Since I left the loop.
Right.
So you got to go to the show. And yeah, and critics are calling this album the best of Kings
of their
Leon.
Career.
Yeah, of that their career actually. So yeah.
Remember, we saw the tribute band Kings of Leon Sphinx, Wendy, and we had a very nice time that evening.
It was tough understanding it.
It was hard to understand them. Yes. January 23rd, Kings of Leon, and where are they?
They are at United Center.
Sold out.
No, you still have tickets? Some tickets, all but, right. You know.
They're on the verge.
They're on the verge.
All right. Now, Front Row Phyllis does not just go to musical events.
No.
No.
There's some ice dancing coming our way.
There is some ice dancing coming our way. And I think, Bill, this might be up your alley.
Is this for me? What is
this? This is. It's called Disney on Ice.
I have seen Disney on Ice.
Have you taken
times.
The girls?
No, it's just for me. It's not for kids.
Exactly.
What's wrong with Wendy? This is an adult experience. But I
had
like...
boys. I never, ever saw Disney on Ice.
Oh,
no.
Wendy.
Oh,
it's the best.
No.
It's always fun.
It is always fun. And this is Follow Your Heart. And it is running. It's in two places. So it's at Allstate Arena. And that runs from January 25th through the 28th. And then February 1st through the 12th over at United Center. And, of course, Mickey and Minnie are there. And then they bring lots of their friends. So Dory's going to be here from Finding Dory. Right? You knew that.
I knew that. Yep.
How do they get a fish on skates?
That's half the fun of watching them lace up the fish.
That is probably half the fun.
And when they find a cure, Phyllis, for whatever Disney had, he won't be on ice anymore. So get those tickets now. Go see him while you can.
Get those tickets now. Exactly. Yeah, that's
absolutely.
What I say.
Wait, now isn't that like a weird, ironic thing that it's called Disney on Ice?
Because there's been a fairy tale for years that Walt Disney was cryogenically frozen, but it's not true.
Oh, it isn't true.
It's not true. No.
All right.
No,
good
no.
to know.
No.
All right. And when we're getting into some of the classic artists that are going to be in and around town, Sting will be here.
Yeah. So Sting will be here. And we are also used to seeing him in a big arena setting, right?
Mm-hmm.
So take Sting on March 3rd, and he's going to be at the Aragon.
A more intimate setting.
Much more intimate setting. Isn't that kind of cool?
It is cool.
Clubby setting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How many shows? Just one?
It's just one show, and there's very few tickets available. So
I'm surprised there's any.
Yeah, very few tickets, and well, that's because nobody knew about it yet.
Oh yeah.
See, now
we have connections now.
Front Row Phyllis.
Yeah, and we're gonna sit in the front row.
Well, you have to. That's your name.
I know.
People would be furious if you didn't. So he does some of the hits from when he was with the Police, and then he does some of his solo hits. I imagine that's a great show.
And he has a new album as well, which is his 12th solo album.
Mm-hmm.
So it's called 57th and 9th. So I'm thinking New York.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
That would be accurate.
Right.
Yeah. You've seen him before, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Yeah, and he puts on a great show, doesn't
he? Puts on a great show. So he really does. Yeah.
Gordon Sumner, is that his name?
Yes, it is. That's his real name.
That is his real name.
And his wife, Trudy Styler, was just in something we were watching. Was it the OA?
Oh, was she?
Yeah. Or in The Night Of. It was one of the two.
She did a guest appearance in one of those? Interesting.
And they're still going strong?
Going strong, and she's beautiful.
Yeah. She is beautiful.
She really is beautiful. She does great hair and makeup.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Definitely.
Bill, here is a hint for you, someone that will be in town just before summer kicks off at the end of May. Bum, bum, bum.
All right, can I
if you don't
have
get
a
this.
Clue? Is he a girl's best friend?
Oh,
I don't know.
Diamonds are a girl's best friend.
Oh, you're.
Is it Neil Diamond?
Yes,
it's Neil Diamond's coming to town.
It is
for like the 90th time.
He's been here a lot, but people love Neil Diamond.
They do love him, but he's here special reason. It's his 50th anniversary.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so he's been performing for 50 years.
Have you seen him before?
I saw him last year when he was here. He's a great performer.
Yeah.
I mean, believe it or not, first of all, to get up there and put on that type of show, and you know, a couple hours and a lot of energy,
right.
It takes a lot out of you. And, you know, when you're only, you know, of course, he's only 34. So.
Right. He's a young man.
Right.
But he's been performing for 50 years.
Exactly. So
do the math. Age, what is the age range? Because I bet it's pretty big at a Neil Diamond show. It's a lot of the millennials like Neil Diamond because that's like their go-to karaoke song sometimes.
Right.
Sweet Caroline.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So running the gamut?
Yeah. You run a whole, I think it's everything from 30 and up.
Did you cry during Heartlight?
I didn't cry.
Didn't
he
cry.
Didn't do that, did he? I hope.
I didn't cry during that.
How about Longfellow Serenade?
Did you
cry
now you're
during that?
Trying to think that I'm going to remember the night. I just said I was there.
That's all we need to know, Phyllis. That's fine. All right.
We're talking to Front Row Phyllis, and she's going to help us find out what's going on in the entertainment world, schedules of upcoming events, and you're also going to be reviewing something. We're going to take a quick break and find out the shows you have seen and what you thought of them. Go to our website at frontrowphyllis.com.
Wendy, you left out a major one. Right after Sting and Neil Diamond, the others are coming to town.
No, that just meant and others.
Oh.
God, we got somebody who goes to a lot of shows and someone who does not. That's the difference here. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN.
It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Her name is Front Row Phyllis. It says it on her driver's license. She showed us. We were skeptical, but there it is, right on the license. No one knows more about concerts and shows here in town than Front Row Phyllis. Why haven't you written a book? You should definitely write a book about this.
I should?
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
That is a good idea.
Wow. Yeah. Do you know somebody that could help me out? Mm-mm. No.
Nope.
Okay, I was hoping that you could.
He's just the idea man.
That's all. That's as far as it goes. It's just an idea, and that's it. But you've seen, would you say, thousands of shows and concerts already?
Yeah.
You have?
I've definitely seen. And you know what's so great is that it's all different genres.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. It's everything from country to jazz to, you know, heavy metal, you know.
All of it.
All of it.
Is there one kind you dread, though? Like, what do you want to not go to see?
You know, heavy metal.
Is that right?
It's just
loud.
It's a little loud. I mean, it was fine when I was, you know, 22. And now that I'm 24, it's just not as much fun.
I actually might have a proposition for you. My husband is a Grateful Dead fan, and they are coming to Wrigley, I believe.
Yep.
And he wants me to go with him, and I don't want to go.
Hmm. Okay. Well, John Mayer's going to be with them.
Well, that's what might tip it in for me. But, you know, a lot of people that are Deadheads did not like John Mayer at all until they heard him with the Grateful Dead and realized what an amazing guitarist he is.
Right, right.
So,
yeah, he is. I mean, that whole group, Dead and Company, is going to be pretty, it's going to be pretty great.
Bill, will you go with them?
Come on, it's 9 hours out of your life. You can't spare that?
And that's one song.
I know.
It's one jam.
I know.
I mean, I like some of their songs,
right.
But when it's all rolled into one, it's like, come on.
Plus, you have to take a class to learn how to do that weird dance, that ethereal kind of dance that they do, the fans.
Right, right. Well, do that on Saturdays.
Yeah, that's when they do the dance, right. Every Saturday.
The dance is available every Saturday.
Right, that's true.
Do you remember the first concert you took your girls to see?
I believe it was the Disney on Ice show that we were just referring to.
I'm talking like a musical act.
Oh, a musical act.
Like someone they liked. I took Dylan a couple years ago. He was 12, I think. Van Halen was his first band, and
that's a good
loved
opener.
It. And I can't remember who Michael's was, but I took him to see Bob Dylan, and that was pretty fascinating.
That's also a good start off, isn't it?
Definitely.
A friend of mine has two young boys, and he took his kids to see Lucas Graham. The band was just in town. Was it last night?
It was. It was last night over at House of Blues, and it was amazing. They were just great. You know, these guys, I got a chance to sit down with them and interview them when they were here for the iHeart Jingle Ball.
Mm-hmm.
And so then last night they did their own show. And they're just, you know, a small little group from
Denmark.
And
They
are young. They're young and they're just so sweet and sincere. And you know what's so great is that, you know, the fame really hasn't hit them.
Right.
And they actually are up for 3 Grammys
year.
So
that's a good year.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. And when I was talking to them, they're like, I go, what's it like to go to the Grammys? They're like, we don't know where we're going to sit.
Yeah.
I go, well, I assume they're going to be the first couple's rows. Don't worry about it.
So you're not able to say to them, hey, enjoy this time now that you're not jaded and all twisted like show business people get, right? You can't say that. You can think it, but it's wrong to say that, right?
Well, I probably can't say it exactly like that.
Yeah.
But politically, I can say some sweet things to them.
Good.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Here's a little something. Phyllis had mentioned this song. 7 years.
This is Lucas Graham.
Maybe. This isn't?
No.
Oh, this isn't. It says Lucas Graham, 7 years official music video.
Fake news.
This is not it? Well, then I don't have it, Kevin. We need you to get it.
Can you sing a little bit of it for Phyllis so we can get a feel for what it sounds like?
Why does it say that?
I don't know.
It says official music video.
And
7 years.
It's the wrong song.
Oh. I am back row Wendy.
I guess so. How about that?
All right. Go ahead, Kev. Once I was 11 years old, my daddy told me, go. I love this song.
Don't you love it?
I'm so out of it.
They don't sound Danish.
Right?
I don't know what I'm expecting.
They don't have an accent.
No.
Well, look at the Beatles.
Yeah, they don't sound Danish either.
I was playing Ed Sheeran. What, any information on Ed Sheeran?
Oh, yeah. Well, Ed Sheeran just released all new music. Everybody's been waiting. And what's really great is Ed Sheeran actually kind of dipped into a little bit of pop.
Yeah.
You know, his music has been, I almost consider him like an Adele type.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
what I mean?
I can see that.
Very mellow.
Yeah.
And now it's going a little bit, you know, crossing over into the pop R&B arena. So some of his songs.
Do you think it's his friendship with Taylor Swift that's leading him that way? Do you think it is? I do.
I definitely think so.
I think it is, Wendy.
I think it helps.
Yep.
It doesn't, you know, I mean, that's how he got his kickstart.
Right.
You know, not so bad to hang out with Taylor Swift.
It's not the worst thing in the world.
One of her squad, is that what she calls it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get on her squad.
Oh, you have to send in applications for this?
Oh, yeah, you definitely.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, resumes, everything.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
R. Kelly was in town?
R. Kelly was in town during Christmas time in December.
Mm-hmm.
He was great. He was, you know, here for two nights over at the Chicago Theater, pretty much sold out.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is the first time that he actually put together a Christmas album. I mean, here's this guy that's a legend, been around forever. And yeah, and Christmas is his favorite holiday. He told us, we did an interview with them, and he said that Christmas is his favorite time of year, so much so that he has a Christmas tree in every room of his house all year round.
Hmm.
He's topped you.
I guess he has. I would not have expected that from R. Kelly. That's kind of surprising.
Were they classic Christmas hits, or did he write his own?
No, they're definitely, he wrote his own. Yeah.
So he's the new Bing Crosby. Is that fair to say? R. Kelly is the new Bing Crosby.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think that would be a great
direction he's headed in.
How would Bing feel about that?
Bad. Not very comfortable, Wendy.
All right, real quickly, you had mentioned who did you interview and who did you see at the iHeartRadio Jingle Ball last year?
So in December, we were with Backstreet Boys.
Mm.
Yeah, so Backstreet Boys. And I have to tell you, we try to put out to our fans, we ask them before I do the interviews, we ask them, what question would you ask?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you know, and sometimes I ask it and sometimes I don't. So this one was actually really funny. So I said to the Backstreet Boys, because sometimes the questions, you know, when you're interviewing could be a little boring.
Yeah.
So I wanted to spice it up.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, the fans wanted to know, boxers or briefs?
Oh, good question.
And it was a very good question.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a toss-up between boxers and briefs.
Now, there's five Backstreet Boys. Do they decide as a team if they're all going to go boxers or briefs?
They
or is it
call
an
each other.
They do call each other?
They
Jordan,
do.
What are you going with? Boxers? I'm in.
Exactly.
Is it scaring you that I knew one of the Backstreet Boys' names? Because it scared me.
Can we hear these interviews? Silly question. Can we hear these interviews on your website at frontrowphyllis.com?
Yep, you can.
Perfect. It's a pleasure to meet you.
You too. This
Thanks
was so
for
much
coming
fun.
In. This was fun.
Thank
you lost
you.
Your bet, didn't you?
I did.
She's Front Row Phyllis. You can find her at frontrowphyllis.com. And if you're lucky enough to be sitting in the front row, look next to you. She might be there. Who knows?
It's possible.
Thank you.
A break, and then we'll find out what Ro and Anna have next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.